present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Surrey Women's Institute News.
This is to tell you all that Nancy Kemsel will be taking over the advertisements from Dorothy Moore as from this month. Dorothy has been doing this job for the last 300 years and would like a change.
Thank you, Mrs. S.K. Tuckwell of Guildford, for spotting that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you please welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and comedian Tony Slattery. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran with journalist and broadcaster Miles Kington. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from the Belfast Telegraph.
Floor covering representative required to cover Northern Ireland.
Well, thank you, Fred Wilger from Antrim, for sending us that. Francis, your question is this. How did a billet doux to Bill affect the bill?
Oh, blimey. If only Ingrams were here. Well, my partner is right. No. Oh, well. Yes, this is to do with a letter that John Major sent to Bill Cash, the heir to Cash's name tapes. Do you know that?
Is that right?
Yep, that's where the money comes from. And Bill Cash, wrote to Major about Maastricht, and Major wrote back, making various supposedly compromising remarks, which are now being used, oddly, in the Danish referendum on the subject. And meanwhile, Bill Cash puts down amendments from time to time, which the Deputy Speaker then says they can't vote on, and then he withdraws them. And then the Speaker says you can vote on them, and then he withdraws them again, and then Douglas Hurd accepts them. And in his spare time, when not sewing on name tapes, he writes to John Major. That's about the time.
That makes a lot of sense to me. This was the news that John Major had a leak in his letterbox this week. In the lead-up to the government... No, please don't. This could turn ugly. In the lead-up to the government's social chapter climb-down, the PM was embarrassed by the publication of his communication with Bill Cash. John's letter basically announced that all the chat about Maastricht at the Edinburgh summit had been a complete smokescreen and a waste of time. Mr. Major spent the rest of the week dodging questions about his real opinion of the Danish position, while Norma said that... While Norma said that it was probably because the last time he tried it, his glasses kept steaming up. Tony Slattery, welcome back to the programme. Your question is, who put on a smiley face despite a bit of a trial?
Who put on a smiley face in spite of a bit of a trial?
Seek help from your friend?
Yes, my partner is...
It's the former head of East German intelligence, a man called Wolf, and he's on trial for treason on the grounds that he infiltrated spies into West Germany. But since he was working for East Germany at the time, it's hard to see how this is treason. But anyway, he's being tried for it. And he complained that John le Carré had stereotyped him.
Yes, that's right.
Basing Carla on him.
That's right.
But it turns out John le Carré didn't base Carla on him. He said that he did have... There's a character in early le Carré called Wolf or Wolf, but le Carré said he named it after his lawnmower.
That's right. That's right.
And thank you, Tony Slattery, for that. That was a wonderful answer.
Smiley was named after his potting compost or something, I think.
The added irony is that Wolf's real name is Patricia O'Leary, because he's a transvestite. And that didn't come out in the newspapers either. So that's hot news off the press here.
And he used to be known as the man with no face.
That's but a big bra.
Which was...
It's getting bizarre quite early, this programme. This is the treason trial of the East German spymaster Marcus Wolf, whose main defence seems to be that John le Carré got him wrong as Carla in the smiley books. He ran the communist overseas spy network through secret bases with code names like The Circus and Cambridge University. Anyway, welcome back to the programme, Miles. Whose fine old mess was beyond his ken?
This sounds like a tortuous reference to Kenneth Clark. He keeps being told that the Criminal Thingy Act doesn't work properly, and the magistrates are up in arms against him, and they've said, get it right this time, Ken, otherwise you're out.
You're absolutely right, Miles. This is Kenneth Clark and his review of income-related fines, which aims to make crime more affordable for the middle classes. More than 30 magistrates have resigned in protest at the workings of the Act, which treated the courts like supermarkets. The last straw came when they spotted signs going up outside which read, 9 convictions or less. Judges also complained that the new regulations restricted them like an ill-fitting straitjacket, whereas, of course, most of them prefer a nicely fitting straitjacket, preferably in leather or rubber. Alan, as usual, the first piece of music accompanies your first question. Listen, please, to this. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Well, that was Simon and Garfunkel singing Homeward Bound. And your question is rather tough, Alan, I'm afraid. It's this. What pretty Polly has flown the nest?
He used to be a terrific company. They used to sponsor the longest or best legs in the world competition, what? Pretty Polly. And then he went into fruit. Unable to find women with legs like grapefruit. Yes, it used to be that, when it was Polly Peck stockings. It was wonderful. You couldn't open a newspaper without closing it again rapidly. Well, this is a this is fraught with libel possibilities for me, because I always think of him as Naimatullah, and I know it's not the same man. He's called Azil Nadir, unless that's the Hezbollah man. It's getting very hard. There are so many prominent Levantine people these days that you do tend to mix them up. But he's done a runner. At least he has at the time of going to microphone. By Saturday, he may well be back. Because... His lawyers said he's a very charismatic man. He may well return to England to face the charges. And I thought, wish I had a lawyer like that. But someone put up his bail, and Group 4 took it round in a tin trunk, and then he went home. And he's now in Turkish Cyprus. Because by some terrible mistake, he chose a place with which we have no extradition arrangements. So it might be quite hard for him to come back and stand trial, though he desperately wants to.
But in his defence, he is opening his bungalow in Turkish Cyprus at £8 a throw to the public.
Yes, this is, of course, it's bankrupt businessman Azil Nadir, who has jumped bail and disappeared in less time than it takes your average tycoon to fall off a yacht. Fraud squad officers first became suspicious when they knocked on his door and said, "Is Azil in?" To which the housekeeper replied, "No, he's not here." The former Polly Peck chairman was last seen in this country boarding a private Air Shergar flight to North Cyprus, clutching a copy of the Ronnie Biggs Extradition Treaty World Atlas. And I bet you can't guess what the scores are at the end of the first round. Well, if you can't, I'll tell you, they're 4-4. We start round two with an item sent to us by Mr. Hack from the Midlands.
A woman used her training in self-defense to fight off an attacker. She poked him in the eyes and hit him in the stomach. The man ran off. Police were looking for a bald white man aged about 40 with sunken eyes.
Well, it's your turn again. Where did the Reds take a pasting from the blue?
Could be about Manchester United winning the league championship. Could be
about communists.
Could be about anything, really.
It's along those lines.
I think it's
the Queen laying in to communists.
There you go. Came from nowhere.
Is it to do with blue blood?
Our sovereign lady went to Hungary with her old man and made a speech about what a bad thing communism was, and they all agreed with her.
Yes.
They didn't know before then.
No.
It was the speech delivered by Her Majesty the Queen during her visit to Hungary, in which she savaged the evils of communism. Having signed off with her latest catchphrase, "My name's Liz Windsor, good night," the attending members of the Hungarian Parliament looked on in confusion. All this from a woman who thinks Marx is where the plebs do their shopping. Trotsky is a horse. Trotsky, I'll keep going, kid. Trotsky is an instruction to your horsey. And wait for it, folks. The confronting the red menace means throwing Fergie out of a garden party and turning into Bob Monkhouse. Tony, how nice to have you on the programme.
It's nice to be here, Bob.
Well, sitting in your little square box there, just wonderful.
That sounded like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah. Yes, or President Clinton, as he's now known. Tony, your question now. What smirk at the Kirk could have its cheek checked?
What smirk at the Kirk?
It's a wee Kirk.
Well, no, I know there was a story about the Church of Scotland updating its hymnary. Is that it? Oh, good. Well, it's about the Church of Scotland updating its hymnary because a lot of the
It's hymnary.
I've never heard the word either, but I remember it. Apparently the old hymns are full of ghastly double entendres, which lots of young people find rather risible, and things like, "O mighty one, show me the size of your enormousness." And apparently that is verbatim a hymn. There's also another... There's another hymn which says, "Sweet Lord, I wouldn't put that in the fridge if I were you." Is that it?
That's absolutely it. It is terrific. Yes, it is the Church of Scotland, which is revising its hymnary to remove phrases which could provoke sniggers from modern congregations. News of the plan was met with widespread secular derision, but this didn't upset the church used to dealing with its knockers. Meanwhile, the Catholic Church is set to instigate a similar scheme after the line, "Onward with a horn of plenty, Father to us all." Provoke mass sniggers in a Galway church. Miles, some music for you now. 2, 4, 6. Your question, Miles, is this. Why has charging up the road been given the hard shoulder? And for your information...
I think this was a reference to a plan to charge people for going on motorways.
That's right.
And now there isn't a plan to tax people going motorways because they found that it would involve the Inland Revenue standing with briefcases at the entrance to... You'd have to declare your disposable income as you entered the...
Surely not a government about turn on a piece of policy. I would have read about that if it had happened.
I think Bill Cash wrote to John Major saying, "I wouldn't if I were you, John." He said, "All right, I won't then."
I think that about sums it up. It's all about the plan to charge motorists extra road tax to use motorways. The proposed system is that you'll have to buy a £50 licence to use your nice, shiny new car on an M road, or £25 if you drive an old black and white one. That's the answer to that. And Alan, your question again. Where was it time to question what was growing by the road?
It's not that very unfortunate person who does gardeners question time. It goes along and people say there's something fearfully Scots growing on my thing. And they're always full of double entendre gardeners question time. It's the dirtiest programme on radio. Three men deal with problems. They have no idea what they're really about. They're not about clematis at all. I'm afraid I've forgotten this woman's name, but Daphne, she made Daphne.
Is it Daphne?
Daphne Led, it would be anyway, even if it weren't her name, if you know what I mean. Some person we get on Gardeners Question Time. She had a border outside her house, and the house fronted the road. And people in the village don't like it very much, probably because everything she's got grows enormously tall, and theirs just sort of dwindle and die. Anyway, they hate her. And they spoke to the council, and it turned out that the bit of her house that she was growing her herbaceous border on belonged to the council. And the council came round in the night and made her dig it up again.
She got death threats. "We have got your daisies."
"Your daisies what?"
Well, be that as it may, it's all about Daphne Ledwood and the infamous Spalding bedding plant rumpus. The worst event to hit eastern England since the disastrous Bridlington domino riots. And the scores at the end of the second round are seasonally adjusted to be 8-all. Well done. We start round 3 with an item from the Southern Evening Echo.
Yacht for sale, Rival 32, Mark III, £10,000. Immaculate condition, must be seen, full infantry.
Well, thank you, A.G. Baker of Southampton, for passing that cutting on to us. Francis, your question yet again. Who got a golden raspberry at the Golden Rose?
This is the television awards thing in Montreux.
That's right.
The French and Saunders were our entry, but I don't know if they got a raspberry as such. They just got a lot of money, didn't they?
It's Alan Bastard. It's Alan Bastard, the Rick Mail programme, which A lot of tin-hatted krauts didn't like. obviously that'll be cut, but it's as well to give the editors something to do, isn't it? The point is they rather lost their sense of humour and didn't like a programme in the New Statesman series sending them up.
That's right.
Well, if it's going to be cut, the joke was about Hitler's willy, wasn't it?
Was it?
Villy, as he pronounced it.
Oh, Villy, yeah.
I thought Hitler's willy was uncut, but there you are.
This is all about the Montreux TV festival, where the German judges were upset by Rick Mayall's portrayal of a Hitler-obsessed MP. Further complaints are now expected from those offended by Rick's earlier work. The sitcom Bottom has upset Nina Mishkoff. The Young Ones has offended Bill Wyman. While Filthy Rich and Cat Flap hasn't exactly cheered up Princess Michael of Kent. And we've all deeply unfair. Tony, would you listen to this? Well, Tony, I don't have to tell you that was Bonnie Tyler singing Holding Out for a Hero. And your question is, whose F factor ballooned for the kids?
This is about role models for young people, isn't it? And the person they look up to most, apparently, and rather weirdly, not weirdly because he's a nice chap, it's just he's got an implausible beard, too many teeth, and a ridiculous taste in pullovers. So it's Richard Branson.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I think role models are far too important a subject to try and be humorous about. Thank you.
Yes, you're absolutely right, but I'll read it anyway. this is Richard Branson, the man with a smile like a piano with the lid open, who has been voted the person youngsters admire the most. They believe the bearded millionaire possesses all the important F factors, that failed balloonist, fashion victim and fungus face. Meanwhile, the survey revealed youngsters did not admire Arthur Daly and John Major. Seems grossly unfair to pigeonhole a shifty, unscrupulous con man with Arthur Daly. Miles, who is being asked if their porridge is to their satisfaction?
It sounds like a question about jail food.
It is.
And it sounds like another Group 4 catering division. nothing to do with the Group 4 prisoner who was found to be drunk on arrival.
I'm going to question her.
What?
Question, you know, whether prisoners like things when they said no, the door shuts and all that. Whether they actually liked it in there. Yes. A fair number of them said no. It amazed the people. Where these people start? Where would you start with a survey? Going into Parkhurst and saying, is everything all right? I mean, really?
But I could
have done sociology. I wasn't a fool.
Who's taken all the questionnaires? They were here a moment ago. Yes.
And they were also asked if they felt safe.
It's the Home Office questionnaire asking prisoners what would improve the quality of their lives. Answer, presumably a rope ladder and a Polly Peck Airlines standby ticket. Alan, where has the red light been given for a welcome on the hillside?
This was unfathomable. These are 12 prostitutes from Tiger Bay going on an adventure weekend at £3 a head into the Brecon Beacons. I cannot pick the bones out of this.
Beacons.
A psychiatrist said it will take them out of themselves. Compared with what they put into themselves, I suppose. It's an adventure holiday for tarts in Wales. I think that's the top and bottom of it, as it were.
It's your gift for words, Alan. This is weird, isn't it, really? It's actually true. There's a scheme in Cardiff intended to get the ladies of the night out on the hills for a spot of outward-bound relaxation. A charity thought they looked like they needed a rest and that a couple of days out of bed might do them good. Community singing has been arranged for the trip with such old favourites as One Man Went to Mo. Another one went to Lindy. And here we go down that road again, Alan. And Ging Gang Ghoulie. And as you're way ahead of me, I'm not going to say the rest. £3 course. £3 for that. The £3 course
said
involves.
That before.
Blimey. The £3 course involves canoeing, abseiling, and climbing. But the organisers are a bit worried that the women might want to charge for putting on boots and ropes.
Can I just ask what they meant by £3 a head?
No. The scores at the end of the third round are still tied at 12 all. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Cambridge Evening News, which has been sent to us by Neville Atkinson of Cambridge.
Desert Orchid is on the mend. He had his first meals yesterday, two bran mashes and a few polo mints that people have sent him, along with hundreds of cards and get-well messages.
Good fibre diet there. Francis, a piece of music for you.
I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris in the fall. I love Paris in the winter when it drizzles. I love Paris in the summer.
Well, that was I Love Paris, sung by Ella Fitzgerald. And your question is, who had a secret spree in gay Paris?
Yes. Was this Princess Diana?
Yes, it was.
Buying a lot of clothes.
Yes.
Costing about £10,000 a time. And she... why she shouldn't go and buy clothes in Paris, I can't imagine, but it was referred to as a secret spree simply because she didn't issue a press release. I mean, I don't think there's any great secret about it.
No.
But, sorry, it's just the music has rather overcome me. In fact, Tony Slattery's got his tongue down my ear at the moment. I'm just trying to recover from...
That's not my tongue.
The romance... The romance at all. But no, it's Paris in the spring, and it's something... there's been a fuss about her spending all this money on these clothes, as if she ought to be spending it on tickets to Cyprus and that sort of thing.
This is Princess Diana's break in Paris, a well-earned rest from her arduous official go-kart and water splashing duties. The Princess of Wales, as she's known to the rest of the Windsors, Sloane of Arc, spent £10,000 on haute couture outfits. Tony, your question now. Whose cash flow took an instant roasting?
Oh, I think this is a story about a couple... the male part of which kept a lot of money in a microwave, and his wife or girlfriend bunged in some sprouts to cook, and the whole lot went up in smoke. Okay. The sprouts didn't go up in smoke, but all the money did. Was it their life savings or something like that?
There was the overnight money, but she said the sprouts were perfect.
The overnight money? What do you mean the overnight money? Was she working in Wales at the time? What does that mean, the overnight money?
Don't you have overnight money? I thought we all had overnight money. Yeah.
Well, obviously I'm getting £5.22 for this, but I don't put it in the microwave.
And he could. The bank was shut, so he had to put it in the microwave.
No, he didn't have to.
He didn't have to, but he chose to.
He was just barking
mad. It was all because of the little strips in the notes ignited in some
That's
way.
Right.
If they hadn't had strips, if they'd been counterfeit, they would have been safe, but... The little bits of metal in them really? What caused the trouble.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yes, because you can't put metal things in a microwave.
Is that your
cookery tip for today, ladies and gentlemen.
I've never put anything in a microwave. I wouldn't really know.
Oh, well, pardon me, Mr. Posh. Oh, Mr. Barry. Mr. Barry Took only has huge haunches of venison delivered to his door. Some of us have to survive on less.
Just because we roast an ox now and then doesn't make you a bad person. This was Darrell Hayes, who put his £3,000 store takings in the microwave for safekeeping, but lost the lot when his fiancée switched it on to warm up the sprouts. The microwave did such a quick job of reducing a pile of currency to a small heap of rubbish that Norman Lamont has asked the couple if they can borrow it to help him prepare his next budget statement. Alan, what is being sent to the doghouse to ensure silence is golden?
Well, this is one about... it's a Home Office pamphlet. And apparently if your dog barks, you roll up the Home Office pamphlet and ram it down its throat.
This is the government's latest dazzling example of majorism in action, a leaflet entitled Constant Barking Can Be Avoided.
Dog's Charter.
Absolutely. Which comes hot on the heels of the dynamic How to Avoid Walking in the Cracks in the Pavement, Part 3. Well, I'd like to ask if the teams have brought any cuttings. Have you brought any cuttings? Francis?
Yes, I have, yes. It's from the Wolverhampton Express and Star. Goat is on the menu in a cookery book published by a Worcestershire woman. Dishes in 68-year-old Mrs. Murray Collinge's The Cookbook for Goat Keepers include roast leg of goat, goat kebabs, and ice cream made from goat's milk. Mrs. Collinge of Great Malvern has spent 10 years researching her book. She had 10 goats, but is now down to 3.
Miles.
Well, I had a cutting from The Sun about Tina Turner, who's sued a magazine for describing her as a raunchy-thighed grandmother. She said she wasn't a grandmother.
Thank you, Miles. Alan.
I have one from the Leamington Spa Courier, Barry. It says, celebrations marking the 500th anniversary of Heathfield Village went off very successfully, despite the fact that during the torchlight procession on Tuesday night, the pantomime cow containing Councillor William Bennett and Miss Sally Bolton walked into the canal. Councillor Bennett later explained that he'd been unable to wear his glasses inside the cow's head and had mistaken the torch he was supposed to be following for one which had been set up on a barge.
Well, thank you all. And now let's look at the final score, which is quite simple because it's still tied at 16 all, a draw, ladies and gentlemen. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the newsletter from Sir Thomas Rich School.
Venture Scouts, Year 9 members, are raising money with a series of sponsored cycle rides across the width of our local ordnance survey map.
With that...
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Ween, Tony Slattery and Miles Kington. The chairman was Barry Took and the cuttings were read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Louise Coates.